We're continuing our look at Acts chapter 13, verse 16 through 22. Now, as we return to our look at Paul and Barnabas' missionary trip to Pisidian Antioch, the two have been invited by the synagogue rulers to share whatever message they may have brought. Luke begins the account by recording this. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hands and said, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me." Now, it's Paul, as we've noted, rather than Barnabas, who responds to the invitation to preach. While the rest of the synagogue attendees would have been sitting, it appears that Paul stands to give his address. He approaches what is called the bema, or we would call pulpit, and gave a gesture indicating he was ready to speak. Incidentally, that word bema, which we know as a pulpit, as I've said, is the same word used in 2 Corinthians 5:9 through 10. Here's what it says. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." A bema, or, was simply a raised platform. However, it had strong cultural implications in the synagogue. It represented the place from which God's word was expounded. In a Greco-Roman amphitheater where Olympic-like games took place, it represented two things. First of all, the platform from which the judges graded the contestants, and second of all, the place where the winners of the game stood to receive their medals. F.F. Bruce makes some interesting comments about whether standing or sitting to preach and teach was normal in synagogues. Here's what he says. "The standing posture seems to have been the normal one for synagogue preachers in the dispersion. Jesus, on the other hand, stood up to read the lesson but sat down to expound it. This may reflect a difference in practice between Palestinian synagogues and those of the dispersion. It has also been suggested that a word of exhortation was delivered by a standing preacher, whereas one sat down to expound the scriptures." Once Paul began to speak, he immediately recognized the composition of the audience. He references both the men of Israel, meaning any full Jews who were there, as well as any Gentiles present, most likely God-fearers. Now, we've talked about God-fearers before, but let's remind ourselves who they are. These are Gentiles who have agreed to abide by the law and who have been self-baptized. To become even more fully immersed in the Jewish religion, they would also be required to be circumcised. Many Gentiles drew the line at baptism and, of course, keeping the law. Now, let me give you a summary of what Paul is about to say so we can follow his outline as we go. Paul is going to start with a brief recapitulation of Israel's history, ranging from the patriarchs to the monarchy. As others have pointed out, his emphasis is on God's initiative of grace. God is therefore the subject of almost every statement Paul makes. For example, he will say God chose the Jews' primary ancestors. God made Israel prosper in Egypt. God later led them out of bondage. God endured their behavior in the desert. And of course, God overthrew seven nations to give them Canaan. So that's the outline. And we'll see more of that next time on Verse by Verse.